Hi, I'm Gary Check, lead pastor at Grace Community Christian Fellowship in Flint, Michigan. And you're watching Growing with Grace. This show is intended to be an opportunity to teach God's Word and to understand it in a way that helps us as believers and followers of Christ to live lives worthy of Christ as well. We hope that you enjoy this biblical teaching from Growing with Grace. There was an industrial company in a small town that wanted to do an expansion with their company and their factory. And there is a fraction of the town that just thought it was unnecessary. It was going to cause too much additional pollution or delay or whatever it might be. They weren't happy about that. They didn't want the expansion and thought the company was really relatively expendable, not relevant. And so the company did a really interesting thing. They started to pay their employees not with a paycheck, but with silver dollars. Each employee was paid in silver dollars. Now, I don't know if you, how many remember silver dollars? How many of you still have some silver dollars hanging around? I got a couple. I got the Liberty ones. They're cool, you know. Anyway, they paid them in silver dollars, and all of a sudden, these silver dollars started popping up all over the town, in gas stations, in restaurants, in stores, and in markets, and pretty soon, the people began to see just how much an effect this company had in their little town, and the resistance against this expansion totally went away. The world does not see the benefit of the church. They think it's antiquated, not relevant, and has no real place in the world today. Since 1978, Gallup has been watching and polling the unchurched or those who are defined as no to either one of the following questions. Do you happen to be a member of a church, synagogue, or mosque? And apart from weddings, funerals, or on special holidays such as Christmas, Easter, or Yom Kippur, have you attended the church, synagogue, or mosque of your choice in the past 6 months or not? In the 2005 survey reports that 43% of the U.S. Americans are unchurched. They have no place. The unchurched are staying away primarily out of inconvenience, though, not out of hostility. 63% of the unchurched believe that the Bible is God's word. 77% say they pray to God. 58% say they're open to joining a church if they found the right one. Gallup's conclusion was this: these people are ripe for the picking, but it will take new and creative strategies to reach them. A report by George Barna, a Christian researcher, on his website reported that since 1991, the adult population in the United States has grown by 15%. During that same period of time, adults who do not attend church has nearly doubled, rising from 39 million to 75 million people. That's a 92% increase. In a day in which the church is classified as irrelevant, the New Testament church, as commanded by Christ, is called to be diligent in understanding our influence, using salt and light to make a difference in our world. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this time. Thank you for those that may hear safely. And Lord, we know that there are many that would have liked to have come, but just the weather just seemed too challenging. Father, as we've overcome that element, now would you inspire our hearts? Would you encourage us in your ways and your words so that we can stand firm for you and understand our place in this world as you see it? And so we ask a special blessing on this time in Christ's name. Amen. Open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Matthew, the first book in the New Testament. And if you didn't bring a Bible with you, you can turn in the chair Bible to page 3 in the second half of the book. Matthew chapter 5 is what we're looking at, page 3. As we look at the first 16 verses. 5, verse 1. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. After giving the Beatitudes, qualities given to individuals in verses 1 through 10, Jesus gives a right perspective and encouragement in verses 11 and 12 as to the world's response to believers who follow God. But then in verses 13 through 16, we can see Jesus addressing what we now call the church. And first off, in verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. The church, as salt, is very valuable. Its purpose is the heart of God and the Father and the living Christ for carrying forward the ministry of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Realistically, few would want to live in a community where the influence of the church was not felt. It would be difficult to evaluate the value the people of God has had into our culture, our government, and total way of life, but with our nation's decline and the moving away from faith, we can see some of the effect. Without the church, there would be nothing to counter the radical changes that are attempting to take place all around us. Relativism versus absolute. Relativism changes all the time because it's just relative to the moment. But God's truth is absolute, unshifting, unchanging, something that we can rely upon. Lying is not something that we do because we're called and commanded not to do it, but it's relative in the world if it meets a purpose. So many things that God has called us to do in absolutes that if we follow them, the world would be a better place. Secondly, the church's salt is essential to the world's well-being. In the first century, part of a soldier who did their job well were paid in salt, called a salarium, the Latin word for which we get our word salary. And it's also where you get the phrase that they're worth their salt. And it was a very valuable commodity to be paid in. Those living near the sea had plenty of salt, but those living inland had to barter for it. It was seen as very, very valuable. Salt was used to add zest and taste to food, a mineral necessary to the human body. In our house, it's really kind of interesting right now because Luann got this nice spice rack built into this little narrow part of our kitchen. And because it was really kind of a wasted space. And in that, there's a lot of stacks of different kinds of spices and stuff, which Kale loves to take and organize on the floor and does a great job of it, too, by sizes and stuff, and gets put back. But Josh now is taking out these spices. And we have a little, what do you call it, a pestle with a mortar? Is that what it's called? He likes to take these out and just add a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and grind it up, you know, and then put it on his food, and then offer it to Luann and I, which I've just graciously declined. Have enough stomach problems as it is. But you know, he loves doing this, and just experimenting, and he writes his things down. He says, like, 8 or 9 of these spices, and grinds up, says, tastes a little bit like Doritos. Huh, I got those in a bag, you know. But he thinks it's very clever how he does that and makes these things up. Spices add a lot to our food, and salt was so important in that time, in that first century. We're so overwhelmed with so much that we have, but, you know, the simplicity of these small things made a huge difference. The church can bring flavor into a community and influence what is wholesome and helpful. Salt was used as an antiseptic. Wow, get that tongue going. A cleansing agent. You've heard of putting salt in a wound. Very painful, but the therapeutic part of it is helpful over time. The church can serve as a cleansing and antiseptic function in the community as well. reminding people of the moral compass to distinguish good according to God's absolutes and that which is countering the world's relativism. Salt was used to preserve food from decay, especially in the fishing industry, which Jesus and his disciples were very well familiar with. Salt was critical to that. But salt was also a silent but positive force. It does not take a great outward display of its presence. It's very subtle in as much, which we have to warn our son Josh to use just a little bit. Don't go too crazy on it, because it does change it and can overwhelm it. The church, as with salt, simply exists as a positive influence in order to help to make a difference. Thirdly, the church is warned in Jesus' words against losing its saltiness. When salt loses its saltiness, it has no value. It was dumped on the roadway where it could be not harmful to crops and crushed by traffic. And Jesus used this illustration to warn his disciples. He used it so we would be warned as well. Salt can lose its saltiness by isolation. Separate the crystalline grains of salt from each other and they lose their salt taste. Disciples or churches lose their saltiness when they separate themselves from other believers and from the church and isolate themselves into individualism. And they no longer have the same impact. They can do so by walking in disobedience or indifference or even non-involvement. You begin to lose the excitement that you had once for your faith in God and your work in the church. Salt can lose its saltiness by contamination as well. Salt mixed with sawdust no longer can be used in the way that it should be and unable to perform. The church or believers need to guard against letting attitudes and ambitions enter into the hearts that would contaminate their lives. Letting things in that just weigh us down and tear us down. Actions that would destroy their influence. Involving themselves in activities that prevent them from being the distinct followers of Jesus Christ that they're called to be. If we are to retain true saltiness and perform true ministry, we must stay close to the Beatitudes and let Jesus be the Lord of our lives. I love the way he expresses the different qualities of life, and I think it covers things that are encouraging, also ones that cover us when we're being discouraged as well. And we know that it ebb and flows. There's great times of beauty and great times of struggle and challenges. Staying close to God, making a positive response to the cleansing fire of the Holy Spirit so that he can purge our actions and purify our hearts. I love that song, Purify Our Hearts. You know, that should be our prayer every day, because there's so many things out there that want to contaminate it and take us away from God. The Beatitudes are not pious platitudes. They constitute a vivid description of the characteristics of ideal citizens of heaven, the kingdom of God that are to influence while here on earth. By modest estimation, more than a quarter of the entire population of the United States have professed an evangelical conversion experience. That's kind of amazing to me. You think with that many people that there would be differences in the news and in society and things going on. William Iverson Riley observes, a pound of meat would surely be affected by a quarter pound of salt. If this is real Christianity, the salt of the earth, where is the effect which Jesus spoke? I loved when I found that quote. I did a little bit more looking into William Iverson. He planted a church a couple years ago at age 83. Man, he looks younger than I do. It's kind of scary. But his father wrote the song. He was also a Presbyterian pastor. He wrote the song, Spirit of the Living God. Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Beautiful song. If we are to be the salt of the earth, we are to make a difference. We have to do that. This whole idea of the 40-day journey was talked about in our eldership to encourage the body to understand the responsibility that we have as followers of Christ. Not just to come to church on Sunday, which you guys get extra kudos, by the way. We keep track in the back, and so put 2 stars there. But the fact that we use this time as a growth time so that we can go out in the community and make a difference, so that we can be salt and light as Jesus called us to be. George Barna offered these insights from a recent study of today's unchurched population. He says this, "Unchurched people are not just lazy or uninformed. They're wholly disinterested in church life, often passionately so. Stirring worship music won't attract them because worship isn't even on their radar screen. More comfortable pews cannot compete with the easy chair or the bed that already serve the unchurched person well. Church events cannot effectively compete with what the world has to offer. The only thing the church can provide that no one else has in a life-changing practical encounter, an ongoing relationship with the living God and with the people transformed by similar encounters. Until such a connection is made, focusing on features, programs, and benefits other than such a life-shaping encounter is more likely to lose ground than to gain it." People need to see authentic faith. People need to see that it's real. Doesn't mean that it's perfect. Doesn't mean that's without its challenges. It doesn't mean that we don't struggle, because we do. We struggle because we have not one enemy, but three enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And they work in cooperation to try and make our life difficult as they can, and to take our eyes off from God and to put our eyes upon self. Until the world sees something that's authentic and real and consistent, and real means, you know what, hey, I'm having a rough day. You know, Christians that always smile and are always perky, they worry me. Because I begin to wonder, what do you got that I don't have? You know, because some days I don't feel like smiling. Some days I had a day like that. Can I tell that story? Yeah, Friday. James and Jessica are very kind to offer to proofread my little devotional books. And by the way, those books are written from my perspective to try and put Christian faith into an everyday practical way. Those are experiences I've had that to try and show that, you know, we can live Christ in day by day. Anyway, they're gracious to do that. I said, okay, so I sent off this week five. And it came back to me on Friday, and James said, "You get the email?" I said, "I haven't looked at my email." And so I'm here working at the church. I was here at about 11:30 at night on Friday night. And about, I don't know, 5 o'clock or so, I opened it up. And it had all these purple things all over on this one page with comment, 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 comment. And there's no words for comment, you know. And I'm not talking about the one in the sky. I'm talking about something you say. And so I'm trying to find what the comment is, you know, and I can't find it, you know, and I'm trying to understand. I'm going, why are these words all highlighted? And I began to go into a panic attack. You know, what was really a nice gesture, I'm going, and this is just the first page, and there's like 5 more or 6 more pages to go. And so I called him and said, what is this? You know, I said, I thought you were going to do typos. This is not typos. This is like, I was just like, it took me a while to calm down. I took a couple of Valium and eased right up, you know. I did. But later on, I called James and I apologized. I said, I got a little stressed there. Even Clarence saw that. He said, Lord, I said, he's a little stressed there. We can get stressed, you know, and that's okay. But it's also okay to admit it and also say, hey, you know, sorry, I got a little bit, I didn't yell. I was just very intensely going in a panic, you know, and then I just calmed down and read through them and got the good stuff. Life is not easy. We're on a 40-day journey with qualities, not just to occupy your time, but to ingrain things on a daily basis so that we can, as a church, make a difference in the community. I love this last week, Laura. Or was it a week ago, a week and a half ago, Laura Campbell came to me and said, I've had an idea that God's put upon my heart. You know, I want to talk to you about that. I said, what is it? She says, I want to provide breakfast for the kids in the morning on Sundays. We get these kids from the neighborhood. A lot of them don't have a lot. And it was fine. They don't have breakfast food in the house. You know, would that be okay to do? I'm going, yeah, that's very cool. Jesus fed the 4,000 and the 5,000. We can handle 5 or 6, I guess. You know, but it makes a difference. And I had the opportunity to talk to one of the moms to call and say, because we had no contact with him. I said, you know, let Anthony know. He's the big kid. Get to know him, you know. They are neat kids. I said, let Anthony know and the rest of the gang who are out with walkie-talkies in the snow doing stuff. I didn't want to ask. And so let them know that there's going to be a breakfast for them at 9:45. And she said, wow. I said, and I hope we'll meet you sometime. But, you know, you get to the kids, you're going to get to the parents. And we're now finally getting to the kids. And they were here at 9:30 this morning. You know, want to give me a big hug with snow on? I said, oh, I don't think so. You can back off right now, and we'll talk to you a little bit. We have to have an authentic faith that reaches in practical ways. It's not just the breakfast buffet, but it's meeting a need, you know, feeding their physical so we can feed their spiritual. How much does that cost us to do that? It's nominal compared to the return spiritually that we're making a difference as a church. I don't know of another church that does that. Shh. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But I think that's what the church needs to do, ways that are practical and make a difference, because you know what? You get those. We're not doing the adults, by the way, so you guys can eat on your own. There's McDonald's next door. We've got a gate, you know.
Don't leave the kids and go to McDonald's.
Yes, drop off your kids and cruise on through. Barna noted that the millions of young unchurched have no understanding of or interest in a church, even if it's contemporary in style. He says millions of young adults are more interested in truth, authenticity, experiences, relationships, and spirituality than they are in laws and traditions, events, disciplines, institutions, and religion. We need to listen to that. The church can be different and still be the church. God's word is absolute. God's word is true and unchanging. It doesn't get updated. It doesn't need to be updated. You know, but the way that we present it, the way that we reach and connect, that can be different and still be true to the truth. If you search citydata.com website, according to that data collected in Genesee County, you will discover that only 154,810 residents claim any religious affiliation in Genesee County out of a population census of 418,408. By the way, I did some searching back, and that is going down, as we know. But that is the current number that we have. Here's the thing. That leaves 263,598 residents as potential pre-Christians in a 20-mile driving radius. Let's just get half of those. Yeah. That'd be a good-sized church. Yeah. But you know what? If we had a tenth of that, if we had 1% of that. See, if every single one of us just got one, church would double in a week. It's not about numbers, though. It's about heart. It's about getting them to see Jesus Christ in our lives with all of our warts. You know, that's the one thing you can tell people about the Bible so cool, because it's there with all the warts. You see the boneheaded things that the disciples did. Yeah, Jesus, call me on the water. I'll walk out to you. Oh, it's storming. Starts Peter. I love Peter. I think I'm more like Peter than anything else, because he's boneheaded. But he had a good heart, you know? Let people see your warts, but let them see the solution as well. Let them see the foundation of the reality of your life that's so important that even with all the mistakes that we make, Christ has never changed. This is day 29 of our 40-day journey. Almost done. 11 more days to go. But it's a journey with a purpose to grow with grace in ways that God's called us to make a difference in our own lives as well as the lives around us by understanding our influence, because we do have influence just by the way we live our lives. What is our responsibility in the face of all this evidence to be what Jesus called us to be? First is this. The church is called to be salt. Salt is not a bad thing. We can't see as some worthless element that you buy in a container for cents on a dollar, but how valuable it was and the truth that's there in God's word when it was commanded to us and taught to us. The church is to display light. Light to not what we say, but to light to what God says. My words don't mean anything. They really don't. But God's word means everything. If we have a difference, let's work it out according to God's word. And not be afraid to come alongside somebody to ask them that. I'm seeing something, and, you know, help me understand. We need to be light within the church as well as outside the church as well. As such, the church is to bring glory to God in everything that we do. You know, we've done some pretty cool stuff, some outreach events that haven't produced anything. But we did it to give glory to God. We did the cream. I was doing some pictures to putting together this pictorial directory. By the way, I got some small ones today. We just got the other day that are a precursor to. So get one of those before you leave. I'll have them out there. But I was watching some pictures of the crim, and the pictures of us labeling 2,000 water bottles was it we did. We had labels made up and with the logo, and we wrapped them around each water bottle. We could have just handed them a bottle and a flyer. That would have been a lot easier, you know. But we did that, you know, to do it with excellence. The event we did down in Davison Roadside Park, we had a good time. We ate pretty well. But you know what? It doesn't matter if you're giving glory to God, because we're not responsible for the results. We're responsible for the heart and the attitude. God is responsible for the results. That's why the Bible says, unless the Lord builds the church, they who labor, labor in vain. Unless God builds it up, it doesn't make a whole lot. You want to see something kind of fun, come to the evening service. That was near 40 last Sunday night. You know it? People realizing they can sleep in on Sunday morning, come still have church. And I'm okay with that. James, I made a funny comment. Said, it used to be we just did church for Dwayne Spicer on Sunday nights. Now he's got a lot more people around him. But listen to this, my fourth point. Apart from the church, the Lord has no program for the world's salvation other than using the testimony we are called to give and the witness we are called to be. This is God's plan. This is his only plan to reach the world. There is no other plan in place. He uses individuals who have come to know and accept his Son to tell other individuals of the great plan of salvation. That's a tremendous responsibility, but also a tremendous blessing as well. We have to understand our influence is great if we let a great God work through us. The New Testament church was created to have influence on life in the community in which it exists, wherever it might be. We were not called to be filler, but the very seasoning that produces a favorable result. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the truth of your word, for the power that it holds, for the call upon our lives, not only as a church, but Father, as individuals. May we not shrink back from that, but we must look every day to what you might have for us, because we never know where you're going to call us to reach inside, to share the life that we have in Jesus Christ with someone else. Help us to be the church that you need to change the world. And we'll give you glory for it now, in Christ's name. Amen. You know, one of the things I talk about this week in the devotional is the fact that we have to understand that all this makes no difference if we haven't put our faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible and its promises and its encouragements means nothing if we don't accept the Son. That is the testimony of God towards his Son that we need to understand. You know, and sin doesn't keep you out of heaven, or sinless doesn't get you into heaven, because no one's sinless. But it all anchors on Jesus Christ. By accepting him as Lord and Savior, having forgiveness for your sins, and that relationship with him is what allows us to the Father. Not our goodness, because our goodness is like... Thank you for spending this time with us. And just a reminder that we're a church, a non-denominational Christian church on Davison Road near Center Road, right next to McDonald's. And if you've enjoyed this service, if you enjoyed this message, please come and spend a Sunday morning or Sunday evening with us, and we'd love to see you in person. You can read more about us at www.grace247.org. God bless.